Holy Spirit, I humble myself before you right now. I need you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would take away from me the fear of man, that you would put your words in my mouth. Lord, I trust that as I take this next couple of minutes to present your word to these, your sons and your daughters, that their hearts would be ready. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I bring captives every thought that prevent people from knowing you. I come against those thoughts. Lord, I bring to submission our hearts. My heart start with me first, God. I bring to submission our hearts, God. I pray that, Lord, that you would give us a child faith, you know, child attitude, that we would be able to just believe your word, Father. We submit to the authority of the Bible. Holy Spirit, something you do really good. When you come, you convict our hearts. You bring the conviction. And we need that. I need that. Daily, I need that. I need you to convict me right now. I need you to bring me more conviction. I do, Father. So, Lord, as I present your word right now, I don't take it for lightly. Because I know I'll be judged for everything I said. So therefore, put your words in my mouth and bless your people in the next couple of minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I tell you, though, there's one thing I'm learning again. The more I'm growing with the Lord, the more I'm like, I have this awe of presenting God's word. And it says, God will judge me for everything I say. So I just want my mouth, my mind to be in line with God's word. You know, a podium, I've heard Francis Chan, he said that. He said a podium can be a very dangerous place because everybody's looking for the podium or to be up front. You know, God bless you guys, some of you who likes to be in the background, or God calls you to be in the background. You know, because some people, God called them to be in the background. But some of us, like me, God called me to be up front. So therefore, I must be very cautious. Because the enemy doesn't like that. The enemy doesn't like people up front. He wants to destroy them. But praise God, because I am more than conqueror. When I stand in Jesus, I have nothing to lose. I have nothing to be afraid of. Okay? So my prayer for each of you is that your heart will be open. Last week I was talking about come aside. Come aside. There's a great invitation from Mark chapter 6 where Jesus said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. And I also talk about the fact that us believers, it's hard for us to take rest. You know, some people, I give you my story, go back and listen to it. I never like to take rest. Even though I know I'm supposed to take rest. But sometimes we think when you're sitting in front of the TV, that's rest. It can be rest. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes you can rest in front of the TV. You can rest reading a book. But the invitation is for us to go away with the Lord with no distraction. In the secret place. That's why for those of us who are extremely busy, the best time, what I'm finding out right now, the best time for me is before everybody wakes up. You know, 3 o'clock is a very good time in the morning. Okay? I don't expect anybody to say amen. But when you're really busy, you got a lot on your mind, to discipline yourself, or whenever the Lord wakes you up to go away with him, with no distraction, it's very amazing. Open your Bibles in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. You notice, either in your Bible or on the screen, there's a title from the NIV. It says the final exhortation, but I would say this is my beginning exhortation. In the Bible, it says final exhortation because this is the last chapter in the book of Philippians. But me, I would say, hey, this is my beginning exhortation, which means a call. Nobody likes the word exhortation because you see in the word of exhortation, you see rebuke, right? You know, exhortation. You see correction. You know, but exhortation can also be encouragement. It can also be an appeal. This is what it says in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Everybody repeat this with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Stop right there. Rejoice in the... Do you know one... I tell you, one of the physical evidence that a believer is filled with the Holy Spirit is joy. Man, I tell you, sometimes I don't get it. One of the most grumpy people can be believers. Grumpy. Oh, I get grumpy sometimes. You never want to encounter me when I'm grumpy. Ask Kathy. Ask Kendra. And we all get grumpy, right? Oh, yeah, so let's try that again. We all get grumpy, right? Oh, yeah, that's right. But it says rejoice in what? So the question here from this verse, how do I rejoice in the Lord? Let me ask you this. What are some things you rejoice in? Or what are some things that brings you joy? You know, the Hebrew word from rejoice here is kahero, which means to be glad exceedingly. You remember, guys, I used to have trouble saying this word. I have graduated. I've been exceedingly. Rejoice. It's like, do you have something when you do, or when you do, it brings you joy? Like me, when I play music, I rejoice. I enjoy playing music. The word rejoice means enjoy yourself in the Lord always. And so how do you do that? How do you enjoy yourself in the Lord? There's a call, an exhortation, a challenge, an encouragement for all of us to stop being grumpy, but for you to find joy in the Lord. But how do you find joy in the Lord? You have to be in the Lord. You have to be with the Lord. Remember, I've been talking about living a life in the secret place. Rejoice in the Lord, how? Always. No, when things are good. When everything is going according to plans. When life is good. I mean, yeah, there is a tendency when things are going smooth for me to be like, yeah, man, I'm so happy, yeah. But what happened when things are not right? Rejoice, be glad. Maybe this morning somebody is not joyful, or they're not happy, or you have situation in your life that causes you to feel dissatisfied. Nothing in this world will satisfy. There's a song like that. It says, nothing in this world will satisfy. Nothing. You see people strive to get the next big thing, thinking the next big thing will bring experience. I've experienced that. You think, well, once I get this, I'm going to be so happy. And then, bing, I got it. And you're like, the excitement is only like for a day. And then the next day, you're like, what happened to the excitement? And, of course, you've got the world, everybody out there trying to find fulfillment outside of the Lord. And then you wonder why people are so dry, people are so grumpy, their life is miserable. I got a revelation, something reading the Bible the other day. If we're thinking about teachers, Jesus was the most effective teachers of all time, right? Amen, right? I mean, Jesus is still teaching us, but the disciples, those 12 guys, they had the living God living in a body, teaching them for 3.5 years. Yet, they couldn't be strong. Jesus was telling them, guys, I must go, even though I'm teaching you, but I must go. When I go, I'm going to send you the Paracletos. My Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, meaning teaching is not enough. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must be filled. Guys, you know what I do? I've never done it here yet. I think I did once. I scared somebody. I cry. Somebody told me at the church here. They said, you know, I really like you, but you cry a lot. Because sometimes in worship, I'd be like praying, and I'm like, Jesus! Ah! And I'd be crying, and people would be like, man, what's wrong with him? I'm desperate. I want Jesus. Because I am in a situation right now, like the blind man, I gotta be, Jesus, help me! Help me, Lord! If you don't, listen, there are situations in your life, you must cry! You must scream! You must be like, Jesus, I can't do it! I need you, Lord! You must! Because if you don't, you know what's gonna happen to you? You'll never find that fulfillment the word's talking about right here. You'll never experience that rejoice. Man, I'm in revival. I rejoice myself. I find delight in the Lord. Is it because everything's going right? No, I've got troubles. Man, you guys, if you're in small group, you know I opened up in my small groups. In my small group, I opened up. When we met with the men's group, I tell them what I'm struggling with. I tell them my family issues. But I have tasted, and I know the enemy does not, he doesn't want that to apply in my life. And Paul goes on, he says, I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice, why so downcast? Rejoice. So therefore, I make it a priority for me to be going after that. I go after it. I do. And this is my charge for all of us. This is my exhortation for all of us. We must take delight in the Lord. God is so good. And he wants you to experience his goodness on a daily basis. You know, the plan of the enemy is to kill, steal, and destroy. He's going to steal the first thing, your intimacy with the Lord. And therefore, joy overflows from your intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So when your intimacy with the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, because sometimes people have, I tell you, they know this book from cover to cover, but it's not enough. You have to dwell. You have to be connected. You have to remain desperate. You gotta sometimes drag yourself. You see, the first thing the enemy will do when he wants to destroy you, you meaning me, he wants me to disconnect. Oh, I can. Do you remember the last three words when I was finishing my message last week? The last five words of a dying believer. The old's fine. The old was fine. Something like that. The old was fine. I can do it by myself. I can do it by myself. I don't need anybody. Oh, I got it. Oh, people are this, people are that. I'm going to read it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, Paul saying, rejoice. Cairo, rejoice. Be glad. Be joyful. Take delight. Take pleasure. Take pleasure. What do you do you like to do, and when you do it, it fulfills you? It's like I told you, when I I can play music for hours. And I'm never tired while I'm playing it. When I'm done, I'm like, oh yeah, I need a nap. But I enjoy playing music. I don't know, it brings me life. It brings me life. And then it goes on, verse 5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. See, what happened to us when we don't have joy? What happened to us when we're grumpy? We can't be gentle. And gentleness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. People are short-tempered. They're always spreading strife. You can't be gentle. You can't. You're always cutting people off. You have a temper. You can't be gentle because you don't have the source, which is the Holy Spirit, to bring forth that fruit of gentleness Paul's talking about. And here he said, let your gentleness be evident to what? Wow, what does that mean? So people must see it. See, whatever you're consistent in reflects your character. So in 30 days, if you're only faithful in 3 days and you're unfaithful for 27 days, you're more unfaithful than faithful. If you're always on time, everybody knows you're always on time, and then one day you don't show up, everybody, people are going to be like, oh, what happened to him? Something, maybe flat tire, whatever, something's wrong because he's always on time. But if you're always late and then all of a sudden someday you show up on time, everybody's like, oh, what happened? Because this is not your nature. So whatever you are consistent in becomes your character. So therefore, in this verse, Paul is charging us, saying, let your gentleness. But for that to happen, your joy must be flowing from the presence. The Lord is near. I like that. And the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer, two words here. You can underline those two words. Prayer and petition. You see, now, you like prayer, you know, we're not going to teach on prayer. Prayer is communicating with God, right? Praying without ceasing is always checking with God. Whatever you're doing, you're checking with God in the car. So it's like when you pray without ceasing, you have that constant awareness. It's like the Holy Spirit is always here. You have this constant awareness. Everything I do, I have this constant awareness of the, let us become more aware of your presence. So I have this constant awareness of the Holy Spirit. It's right there. 2 weeks ago, we were in home group, and the guys were teaching on 2 Peter. The 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, therefore get rid of, and it gives a list of things. Good Bible study. It was good. I was just there listening and stuff, receiving. Went home Tuesday night, went to sleep. In the middle of the night, the Lord woke me up. It's like, okay, go read 2 Peter. I went and read 2 Peter. I said, okay, that's good. And God's like, I want you to take this list. You know, I run a side business. And make sure, he said, make sure everything you do is in line with this list. I'm like, well, I mean, I know. But for some reason, the Lord wanted to bring my attention to that list. I'm like, okay, God, just checking. See, when you live with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis and you give Him room, you will bear fruit. You can't dry planting in the stream. It's impossible. It is impossible to dry up when you plant in the stream of life. Petition. So last week, we prayed for our brother. We all come together. You know, you all guys know what petition is. When we, if I'm doing like a manifestation or a protest or something like that, I'm gonna sign a petition. I get thousands of people to sign what? A petition. That's why we pray together. That's why it's important for the body to come together and pray. When we pray like that, it's like we're bringing what the Bible says. It says in every situation, we're bringing our petition. When we pray, we say, Father, let your will be done. Lord, if I'm just praying this by myself, it's good. It's prayer. But when we all come together as one accord, you know, 30 people come together, we say, Father, let your will be done. Bring revival in our church. God, break our hearts for what's happening? It's a petition. You know, when if I'm the only one protesting against something in town, the chances my voice won't get too far, right? But if I start a petition, what's going to happen? It might get somewhere. People will hear it. And it says, by prayer and petition, with what? Thanksgiving, expression of gratitude. That's why we shout hallelujah. That's why we shout praise. We say, Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for being in our lives. It says, present your request to God. And then what? You see, now, when you read these verses, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 9, it gives you the way to peace. Look at this. What do? First of all, I rejoice in the Lord. I teach myself to take delight in the Lord. How do I take delight in the Lord? Spend time with Him. Read the Bible. I tell you, the enemy, the moment you choose to go after God, the whole hell will break loose. If you choose to go after God, the demons are after you. But then victory is yours. The more you resist Him, and the more you submit to God, He will flee. But He doesn't flee because we stop resisting Him. And we don't submit to God. But when I resist Satan and I submit to God, you know what happened to him? He's gone. He cannot stick around to persecute. And then it goes, let your gentleness be evident. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, pray and give thanks. And then the what? The peace of God. Anybody wants peace? I do. There's no price you can pay for peace. There's no price. To know, man, wow, man, I've got peace. I tell you, this is December, right? December 1st. In this year of 2024, I was telling Kendra, I've never felt this good. It's been probably a couple years since I felt this good. I feel good. I feel good in my back, my knee. Last year, I went to run with Ryan. And I used to run. I'm going to run. I'm like, wow. It's like, what's happening? I couldn't run for a whole year because of my knee. Stress was killing me. Anxiety was killing me. I'm carrying so much. And then I had a deeper encounter with the Lord in the past month. I'm like, man. My mind is so clear. Things still the same. I sleep better. I'm like, I do sleep. I've never felt this good before. It's been a while. Why? The peace of God. And that's what I want you to experience. I want you to experience the peace of God. Sometimes we carry so much. We carry so much. Listen to what it says. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Put this picture on the screen of what it means to be yoked. In case you forgot, a yoke is a harness. You know, that's why the Bible says it's not good to be unequally yoked. Some people, when they read this verse, they think, yoke? The yoke sounds like a burden. No, but Jesus is saying here, take my yoke. Just look at this for a minute. Take my yoke. It doesn't mean put on you more burden. It means Jesus is saying, won't you give me your charge? Whatever you're carrying, won't you give it to me? Guys, I have done that. I have done this. I carry so much. You have no idea how much I carry. I carry people, I carry situation, I carry churches. I'm overseeing a bunch of churches in Haiti. I'm overseeing a ministry school. I carry so much. I want to fix people. I'm a fixer. I try. Believe me. I try to fix them. I don't know if you have, but I have tried to find out it doesn't work. You can't fix people. So therefore, when I can't fix them, then I get disappointed, I get mad, I get irritated, constipated, and then, of course, I lost my joy. But seriously, I do get constipated. That's part of the deal. See, this verse in Matthew, take a look at this picture. The verse, it means, it says, take Jesus' yoke. Take his yoke. Don't think about this verse like a child. Like an adult. See it like a child. Would you receive the Lord's yoke? Because his yoke is easy. That's what it says. He says, my burden is light. My burden is light. Put it on your shoulders. You know, there's this very, it's a story about a guy called Chris. One day he was coming from, going from ice cream with his wife. She was pregnant with 3 kids. Going through a green light. He had a green light and somebody T-boned him. Guys, the guy's watching his pregnant wife dying. His 12 years old died. He's 9 years old, died, and he had another kid, I think was like 5 or something like that, was in critical situation. What do you do in such situation? But this guy, he had a revelation. It was so painful, he wanted to die. He wanted to die. He's like, there's no way I'm going to live through this. And then he find out the guy that T-boned him survived. It was a 17-year-old junkhead. He was drunk. But then the voice of the Holy Spirit spoke to him. The voice of God says, let go. Take on my yoke. That moment, he believed. In his pain, he received a revelation to let go. And then the Holy Spirit ministered to him. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to forgive this guy. So he asked, what room he was, the kid was, which hospital, and then went to the hospital and told the kid, today you must let go on what you did. Because if you don't, you will die today, even if you are breathing. Think about this. Certain situation we experience in our lives, unless we let them go, accept God's calling yoke on our lives, that situation will haunt us for the rest of our lives. That's why people can't forgive themselves. Some people do crazy, stupid things, or crazy things happen in their family, and they're like, we can't move on. There's no way I can move on. And they confess that, so therefore they're stuck. And then the enemy just kill you alive. You know, it's like you're breathing, but you're not living. This guy, he let go and forgive. Look at this picture. It says yoke, not choke. We don't have time to go there, but maybe later, some other time, when you study this compared to the old covenant and the new covenant, that's why the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. So even in business, I'm not going to put myself in business with an unbeliever. I can do business with unbelievers, but I can't be partner. You know why? Because we're going to be unequally yoked. If I'm a believer, I trust Jesus, I love Jesus, I can't fall in love with someone who's not following Jesus. I'm no lesser than them, but it's just because we can't be equally yoked. I've seen a lot of people that broke and violate this principle, and they experience a lot of trouble. Jesus is saying to us today, take my yoke on. You know, take my yoke. What are some burdens Jesus is asking you to lay down this morning? What are some burdens? You know, burdens of impaired relationships. Maybe, you know, your marriage, children, friends. Burdens of hopelessness. You know, today we talk about hope. Beautiful verses. The word of the Lord. Hope. God is a God of hope. Maybe it's the burden of addiction or guilt. Remember, guilt is never from the Holy Spirit. Every time you feel guilty in the presence of God, that's the enemy. God will never guilt trip you. He always wants, there is always a great invitation for you and I. Would you come? The yoke of rest. At last, Jesus says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. If you learn, you will find rest. Come on, guys. Can you just believe that? Certain words I use, I read in the Bible, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, okay. If I learn, you give me rest. Okay, so I'm learning. Okay, I'm letting go, Lord. I'm just going to rejoice in you. You know, we come here, the internet doesn't work. Glory to God. You know, lights don't work. Glory to Jesus. You know, this doesn't work. This break. Hallelujah. You know, it's like, house breaking down, praise the Lord. Lord, I trust you. You're going to provide. Lord, you know, people are getting sick. I'm not feeling it. Lord, whatever it is, glory. What a perspective. You know, there's a big myth and lie that the enemy make us realize, think. We think because I'm devoted to Jesus, trouble shouldn't come. That's not the word. The word didn't say that. Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble. But what happened? Through it all, I'm going to give you my peace. Through it all. Listen to Matthew again in the Passion Translation. It says, are you weary? Are you carrying heavy burden? Come to me. I will refresh your life. For I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways. And you will discover I am gentle. I am humble. Easy to please. You see, it's a lie. Sometimes the enemy makes us think, well, God is such a rigid God. He wants us to follow here, this, and that. Therefore, since I can't, I'm just going to be a rebel. Those are the mindset of the enemy. It says, learn my ways and you will discover that I am gentle and humble and easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in what? In me. That's why we come together. To find refreshment and rest in the Lord, to be equipped so we could go out there and spread hope in such hopeless world. People think, I must possess all this stuff to be happy. To find out, that's a lie. For all I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Worry and burden. And I'm going to finish with this, guys. Make no mistake. When we devote ourselves to see God, the enemy, you step in a battle. And there's great fight for our souls. But thank God that Jesus, he came and he paid the price. You know what? He says Jesus came to destroy the work of who? The work of the enemy. He came to destroy the work of the enemy. So therefore, would you? This is the call. And I'm going to ask Dan, come play the piano for me, please. Just play. We're going to play this prayer again. To God be the glory. How can I say thanks to you for what you've done? And as we sing this, as we pray this is my charge. This is my This is my invitation to you this morning. What are some burdens? What are some things that you are carrying? Maybe you're not aware of them, but the Holy Spirit's going to reveal them to you, to your spirit. Would you come and take rest in Him? Would you let go? Would you come to the altar? Or it doesn't matter, wherever you're at, where you're sitting down, there's an invitation for you right now to give an answer to the word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. How can we say thanks for all you've done? And one of the things you came to do, you came to destroy the work of the enemy. And right now, Lord, we come against the work of the enemy in people's life. I come against it. In the name of Jesus, I come against it. We surrender our hearts to you. Lord, I pray that you would teach us your ways as we discipline ourselves to learn your ways. Yes, Father. God, I pray that you would birth in our hearts a baby cry for you. Jesus. 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 Jesus, we call you this morning. Holy Spirit, we call you this morning. Holy Spirit, we surrender to you this morning. Oh, we offer our hearts, we offer our lives, we lay it on the altar. Strive no more. Fight no more. Strive no more. We're saying yes, Father. Oh, we give it all to you, Lord. Yes, God. Korabasita lama korabasita. Kia lama sota lama sanda lama sota. Hey. We break the burden of anxiety. Lord, we come this morning to learn your ways, to learn from you, to take on your yoke. And Father, you're doing that right now with every soul, with every mind, with everyone here, each of your sons, each of your daughters. Yes, Father, you're doing it right now. You're doing it right now, Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, your blood. With your blood, you have saved me. With your power, you raised me to God. Be the glory for the things you are doing right now, for what you're doing right now in our hearts. Oh, just let me be, pray that. Just let me be to you. With your power, You have raised me, oh, to Yahweh. I give all the glory for the things, for what you're doing right now, God. For what you're doing right now in this moment. For the way you are raising us up. For the way you are lifting us up, God. For the way your grace is empowering us right now, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you. We say yes to you. We say yes to you. We lay them down. Lord, I pray this next week, this next couple of days, as we remember this picture we saw on the screen of those two cows equally yoked, that God, we would surrender to the yoke of Christ. Oh, Lord, we would